Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your show host, Randy Fine. So today we're going to be talking about dreams. Are you interested in how your dreams can help you infuse your life with health and joy? I think we all are. So today there's a lot of buzz about mindfulness, which is wonderful, but we often neglect our sleep and dreams. Imagine how much more your life could transform if you brought mindfulness into the third of your life that you spend asleep. Today's special guest, Dr. Claire Johnson, is the author of Mindful Dreaming, Harness the Power of Lucid Dreaming for Happiness, Health, and Positive Change. She'll be talking about what dreams are and why they're so important, how to transform nightmares and heal from the past, and how to have lucid dreams. Dr. Claire Johnson is the leading expert on lucid dreaming. She did the first doctoral work in the world on lucid dreaming as a creative tool. She is a lifelong lucid dreamer herself and the board director of the International Association for the Study of Dreams. So let's bring Dr. Claire on, and we're going to find out how we can do all this, because it sounds really intriguing, exciting, and so beneficial to our health. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, Randy. I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me onto the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for being my guest. So let's first talk about, we all wonder where dreams come from. So can you tell us a little bit about that? What dreams are for, why we have them?
Yeah, sure. Well, so dreams are experiences, sensations, and emotions that we have while we sleep. Now, as you may know, we have several sleep cycles in a night, and each cycle lasts about 90 minutes. And as we go into these sleep stages, we go deeper and deeper into sleep. And the stage four of sleep is REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement sleep. Now, this is a stage of sleep where we're really hard to wake up, but paradoxically, our brain is just as active as our waking brain. So this is the stage of sleep where we have many very vivid emotional dreams, and we have our REM period of sleep gets longer and longer as the night continues. So the morning sleep, you might have a whole hour of really vivid dreaming sleep. So that's a precious time of the morning to enjoy your dreams. And it's very important to to learn to communicate with our dreams and with our unconscious, in my opinion, because then we learn from our dreams. Our dreams will show us how we really feel about a particular situation. They can point us in the direction of change and healing. They can help us on all sorts of different levels. And when we dream, we're basically releasing emotions that are too strong. We're releasing them, and we're also problem solving. Neuroscience also shows that dreaming consolidates memory and helps with the learning process. Dreams tell us stories in symbolic language. They tell us stories about how we feel, where we are in our lives, what our relationships with others are like, and they also show us where we'll end up if we stay on the path that we're on now. Sometimes you hear of people dreaming of a car crash, for example, and those dreams are often pointing to the fact that the dreamer is not on the right path, or they need to slow down or make some changes. Things are not going well, so the dream will point that out and show that person. So dreams will communicate with us if we're open to them.
That's so exciting. So why do we have nightmares?
Well, nightmares are actually fascinating. Nightmares can be seen as healing gifts on one level, because what the nightmare does is it flags up a particular situation in our lives that is not good for us or is painful for us, or it flags up how we really feel about something. For example, a woman in one of my workshops, she dreamed that she saw her two grown-up daughters lying dead in open coffins. And this was a terribly upsetting nightmare for her. And she brought it to the workshop, and I said to her, "What was happening in your life when you had that nightmare?" And she said, "Oh, well, it happened just at the time when my youngest daughter left home, and her oldest daughter had already gone." So clearly, you know, it became very clear then that this nightmare was actually showing her how she was grieving for the loss of her daughters from the family home. You know, nothing bad had happened. They hadn't died. But for her, on the emotional level, it felt like almost like they died. She was grieving. And so this is good, because the nightmare shows you how badly you really feel about a situation. And that empowers you then to take steps to change the situation, to resolve those negative emotions, and to move on with your life in a healing way. So nightmares can be incredibly useful. I think they're absolutely fascinating. I've learned so much from my own nightmares over the years. And I'm also really enjoying helping my daughter to work with her own dreams and nightmares. She's 8 years old now, and you can really help children to transform their dream lives when they have nightmares. And she actually now has a dream leopard who helps her in her dreams. And this was, it's wonderful. I mean, we could all do with that, you know, a powerful dream animal to help us through our dreams. And this started when she had a dream that she met the leopard in a zoo, and he said he wanted to be free. And so she freed him from the zoo, so she helped the leopard. And now he comes into her dreams and he helps her, for example, to save baby animals or to find bamboo for little pandas who need bamboo to eat. It's ever so sweet. So she's made friends with this dream leopard, and he empowers her on all sorts of levels. I even said to her the other day, "Well, bring the leopard into school with you. You know, if you're feeling scared, just remember you've got your dream leopard, and that can make you feel braver." So children are so receptive. You know, you can help them with their dreams, their nightmares, and they can really just become empowered and find healing and resolution in all sorts of areas in their lives. And we can do the same.
That is so adorable. I really like that. That's so cute. A dream leopard. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's wonderful. I'm glad that she has that. That's a great tool for children, for a child, you know, to take. So what is mindful dreaming? Can you be more specific about mindful dreaming, what it is?
Of course, yeah. So mindful dreaming is about communicating mindfully with our unconscious and enabling its wisdom to enhance and guide our lives. You could say that mindful dreaming has three basic aspects. So first of all, mindful sleeping. So that involves having a pre-sleep ritual, for example, you know, going into your night of sleep as if it's something special, not just kind of drinking loads of alcohol, eating a big meal, and then slumping in the bed and not remembering any dreams. I mean, that's not mindful sleeping. So mindful sleeping is really the opposite of that, so that you can, for example, set up your bedroom so that it's cozy and relaxing, and just do very calm activities before bedtime and don't read on a screen and try and stick to a regular sleep schedule. All that sort of stuff is a healthy way of engaging with your night of sleep. I think it helps to think of sleep as being something that is sacred and something that can really help us to heal in our lives. I mean, sleep is automatically healing. The body heals itself in that state. But it can only do that if we allow it to go through the deeper stages of sleep and have a restful time at night. And it's like, you could think of sleep as being a kind of wellness experience, you know. I mean, if I said to you, oh, Randy, would you like to go on a wellness experience and float blissfully in a spa pool and go on wonderful adventures and then return feeling refreshed and pampered and you won't have even missed 1 minute of work, what would you say?
I would say absolutely.
Exactly. I mean, it sounds gorgeous, doesn't it? But this
it
wellness
does.
Experience is available to all of us every night, and we don't have to pay a penny to get it, because this is an experience we can create in our own bedroom when we sleep and dream. So that's mindful sleeping. So that's one aspect of mindful dreaming. And the next aspect is lucid dreaming. Lucid dreams are dreams where you know that you're dreaming while you're dreaming, and you can engage mindfully with the dream. Now, this is just a fascinating state of consciousness, because you have so many possibilities. You feel kind of doubly alive in a lucid dream, extremely conscious. You can engage mindfully with these unconscious images as they arrive quite naturally, and it can be incredibly spontaneous and powerful. And you can also guide the dream to a healing conclusion if you'd like to, or you can guide it so that you say, I'd like to fly. And I mean, dream flying is one of the most incredible sensations. It's really beautiful. And you can be aware of what's happening in your unconscious by just becoming lucid in your dreams. So that's another aspect. And then the third and final aspect is doing waking dream work. Now, when we do waking dream work, this just means that we engage mindfully with the dream while we're awake. So it could just simply mean remembering your dreams and keeping a dream journal. That's one aspect of, you know, being mindful and doing this waking dream work. You remember your dreams, you're shining the light of conscious attention onto them, and you're able to work with the dreams to unwrap them and find out what their message is. Do they have a message for you? And waking dream work for me is like, it's basically a waking version of lucid dreaming, because we can do many of the things that we do in a lucid dream by simply re-entering the dream in our waking imagination, engaging with it, asking the people in our dreams, why are you here? Do you have a message for me? We could also visualize hugging a nightmare figure in the dream to integrate it into our psyche. All sorts of things you can do. So all those are aspects of mindful dreaming, so communicating with our unconscious and enabling its wisdom to guide our lives.
So this is something we can all do, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It can be learned. I mean, the first step, of course, is remembering your dreams. Yeah.
Right. And we'll talk about a little bit some skills on how to do that. But you had a really interesting experience that sort of sparked your interest in dreams. Can you tell us about that?
Do you mean when I was 3 years old, that one?
Yeah, the earliest memory. Yes, when you were three.
Yeah. Yeah, there have been so many little milestones along the way. But that was the earliest memory that I even have, was having a dream. In fact, it was a nightmare. It started wonderfully. I was swimming in this beautiful turquoise swimming pool and having a lovely time. And then I started to sink and I started to drown in this pool. And I panicked, you know, it was awful. It was a terrible feeling. And then I suddenly had this flash of lucidity and I knew, okay, I have a choice. I can either stay in this dream and drown or I can wake up. And I decided to wake up. So I rolled over really violently in the water, so violently that in fact I actually fell out of bed, hit the ground. My mum came running up and she said to me, oh, Claire, don't worry. It was just a dream, not real. And I thought, not real? I couldn't believe that she would say it was not real because, you know, even today I can still see the turquoise water of that dream swimming pool and it felt so real. So this for me was like a split in consciousness. You know, it's like, wow, there's this whole other world and parents don't think it's real. So that really had a big impact on me. That's probably partly why I remember it so clearly. But that was the start, really, I suppose, of my fascination with dreams that has become a lifelong fascination. As I grew up, I continued to have very vivid dreams and also nightmares. I also did some sleepwalking and I had some lovely lucid experiences as well where I would fly up over the house and explore the garden, things like that. But I always had the same reaction from my parents. It was just like, oh, yeah, all right, Claire, you know, whatever. Let's get on with what's really happening. Let's get on with eating breakfast and going to school. You know, it didn't matter for them. It wasn't important, all of this. So I guess I kind of learned not to talk about it too much after a while. but that was really my path. And then I decided to study it at university. So, yeah.
That's really interesting, especially since you were so young, to have that just that state of mind or state of subconscious or whatever it was, to be able to realize that you could control that dream at such a young age. So there's five types of dreams. Can we talk about the physical, emotional, archetypal,
lucid,
soul? Okay, so can you talk about the different kinds of dreams?
Yeah, sure. So, physical dreams, what I mean by that is when something physical, a physical sensation in our body gets translated into dream imagery and dream events. And I think everyone listening will recognize those dreams where you're hunting desperately for a bathroom in the dream. And everything goes wrong. You know, you finally get to the bathroom and you try to open the door, but there's someone else in there and they won't get out, or else something really bizarre happens, or else once you get in there, it's all just like windows with no curtains and there's loads of people staring in your direction. You think, no, I can't do this here. I have to go somewhere else. And you're just chasing around trying to find a lavatory. And then, of course, you wake up and you've got a full bladder and you need the bathroom. So anyone can see why that dream happened. So that's a very simple example of a physical dream. And, of course, there can be many more. If you have pain in your body, that can come into a dream too, of course. You might dream if you have... sometimes, you know, when you're asleep, you sleep in a funny position, then your arm might kind of fall asleep, you know, where you get pins and needles. So you might then dream that someone's cut off your arm, or else you look down and your arm's not there anymore, or whatever, something like that in the dream. And then you wake up and you go, oh, I've got a dead arm, and you have to massage it to get it back to normal. So those are physical dreams. Then you have emotional dreams. Of course, most dreams do have a very strongly emotional component. As I say, one of the functions of dreams is to release emotions that are too strong for us. So these dreams are doing us a real favor because they're helping us to process our emotions. And an example of emotional dream, it could be a nightmare. It could be a dream where you're feeling very scared, or a dream where you feel very uncomfortable. You know, like the dream, this is another very common dream where you discover that you're in public and you've got no clothes on, and what are you going to do, you know, this sort of thing. But emotional dreams, they can teach us a lot. We can do a lot of work when we're awake on these emotional dreams to find out why do I feel like this? And what is this connected to? Is it connected to something in my relationships or something in my working life? So they're very good dreams to work with on that level. And then we've got lucid dreams, which I've touched on briefly already, so dreams where you know that you're dreaming. And these are dreams that have so much potential. It's really mind-boggling. You can do so much in your lucid dreams. Recent research has discovered you can even enhance physical performance in a lucid dream. So this is research from the University of Heidelberg in Germany, and it shows that sports skills ranging from dart throwing to kickboxing and swimming can be improved when we practice them in our lucid dreams.
Wow.
And so, for example, with the kickboxing, one lucid dreamer, he had to try and master a really complicated kickboxing kick. And so he slowed time down in the lucid dream, because of course you can do that in a dream, right? And when you slow time down, you can do everything in slow motion. You have time to understand what your body's doing. And then he practiced and practiced. And when he woke up, he could just do this really complicated kick.
Fascinating. Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And that's just, you know, that's just one aspect of lucid dreaming. Of course, you can also overcome fears in lucid dreams and transform nightmares. You can face your deepest unconscious terrors in lucid dreams and transform the dream into something healing. And nightmare resolution is a very popular use of lucid dreaming. There have been studies done on this. In one lucid dreaming forum, I think over 63% of people use lucid dreaming to turn their nightmares around. So that's a very common usage of it. And then we've got soul dreams and archetypal dreams. That was the last two. Yeah, so I'll talk about archetypal dreams first. So these are dreams where they seem kind of impersonal on some level. It's not about us and our little daily life and with the people that usually turn up in our dreams. There could be an archetypal figure. So an archetypal is a motif or a very strong kind of character that repeats throughout human history. We're all familiar with archetypes like the divine child or the hero or the wise woman. And sometimes we get these archetypal figures in our dreams. They can also be deities. I mean, I remember one woman shared a really powerful lucid dream with me where she was flying along and she saw this massive Buddha statue. It was a sitting Buddha. It was as tall as a skyscraper. And she flew cautiously towards it and she suddenly realized that actually it wasn't just one Buddha. There was like a whole field of Buddhas and they were all seated and they all looked the same, just absolutely huge. It went on forever. And she was quite scared. And she looked at this Buddha statue and suddenly realized that it wasn't a statue, it was breathing, it was alive. And the moment she realized that, the Buddha statue opened its eyes and its eyes were full of light and full of love. And yeah, it just looked at her. There was this moment of exchange of pure consciousness. So that is a very kind of archetypal dream. It doesn't seem like on a personal level, it's not really anything she had already in her life, of course. And there's a sense of connecting with something very, very powerful, like a universal sort of energy. And then finally, there are soul dreams. Now, soul dreams are fascinating and wonderful. These can be very big dreams that guide us in our lives, and they often involve light. So there can be two main types of soul dreams. There are soul dreams that where there is nothing but light, where you're floating in what feels like infinite space. And this can be quite scary for people if they have it for the first time, but don't be scared. The trick is just to relax and be curious and open to the experience, because you will wake up safely in your bed. But of course, it's so different from what we're used to in our waking lives that it can be kind of scary at first. So these dreams are light-filled expanses, and you float there. Sometimes it feels like you're bodiless or like you've dissolved. But there's generally, if you manage to relax into it, you can attain this amazing feeling of oneness. It's like connecting with the source, and it makes, I don't know, it's kind of, it feels like returning to the deepest part of yourself. So, like, I don't know, it's kind of ineffable. It's kind of hard to describe. But these dreams can be absolutely wonderfully refreshing, and you wake up feeling like you're connected again, you know, like you've connected to the source again, and you have come into your own power again in some way. You've remembered who you are. We're not all separate. We're all totally interconnected on a deep level. So that's that type of soul dream. And then other types of soul dreams, that is imagery, like in regular dreams, but often it will be like incredibly vital and healthy. Like you might see an animal where its pelt is just lustrous and it's full of life and vitality. Or you might meet people who are the picture of health. Or you might just have like really luminous scenery and just be thinking, wow, this is just so beautiful. And you may meet kind of figures who seem to have wisdom, who can guide you in some way in the dream, like they're like mentors or guides. And these soul dreams can be incredibly meaningful, and they can take years to kind of unpack. I mean, they can bring you solace in your life straight away, and they can bring you a sense of how you're advancing along your spiritual path, but they can also always have little surprises in them. You can think, oh, I've understood why that dream came there, and I know what it means. And then like a year or two later, you'll be like, oh, actually, I understand it even more deeply now, what that dream was saying to me, you know? So it's these dreams can be deep companions for your life. Yeah.
Now, for those of us who believe that, you know, we are souls in a physical body, it is said that all of us astral travel at night. Now, would that fall into the soul dreams, astral traveling, where we're actually traveling to the home of our soul? Or what do you know about that?
Well, I mean, basically, we all go into a dream body every night. All of us do. And we experience our dreams in this body, whether you want to call it the astral body or the dream body or something else. It's like a lighter form of ourselves. So in any regular dream, you're in a dream body, which is, you know, the dream body that's running around and experiencing the dream in all its vivid qualities. And then what you're referring to as astral travel, I would probably say, I would probably refer to it as an out-of-body experience. Do you feel that's
yes.
the same, that we're talking about the same thing? Yeah.
Yes.
So out-of-body experiences, they can take place from the dream state. So you could be having a lucid dream and then it could turn into an out-of-body experience. They could happen from stage one sleep. They can happen from the hypnagogic stage, which is when we're observing pre-sleep imagery. But the big difference between out-of-body experiences and dreams and lucid dreams is that you can also have out-of-body experiences from the waking state. For example, I mean, I know people who have suffered physical trauma and they've left their bodies. One woman was, this is in my complete book of lucid dreaming, and this woman was riding on a motorbike, and the motorbike crashed. And suddenly, the moment it crashed, she left her body and went right back up into the air and watched as this motorbike just went, you know, skidding sideways all down this mountain path. And yet she said she didn't feel any worry, any anxiety about what was happening to her physical body. She was instantly taken up into this very warm, white space where everything was good, and she was totally relaxed and peaceful and accepting. So that's a fascinating experience that often happens. It can also happen when we have deep emotional stress. We suddenly will just leave our bodies and float up on the ceiling or float around outside. And so it can happen in actually probably any state of consciousness, this out-of-body experience. But if you want to cultivate more out-of-body experiences, then certainly engaging with your dreams and practicing lucid dreaming can bring you much more often into that state. It can enhance the frequency of your out-of-body experiences. In a lucid dream, you could say, I would like to go out of body now. You know, so you're not in a lucid dreaming environment connecting with your dream images, but you're actually out there on some other plane or having one of those out-of-body experiences where you're in what seems to be the actual physical world, you know? So you could go into your own kitchen and then fly out of the kitchen window and everything looks the way it does in waking life. So all sorts of different experiences. All of these experiences I find completely fascinating, as I'm sure you do as well. I mean, it's just incredible what you can do. And you realize we don't have the limits that we seem to grow up thinking we have. We don't have those limits. And it's something that's drummed into us from childhood, that we are solid, we only have one body, and it's the physical body we're in right now when we're awake. And there's only one state of consciousness that matters, and that's the waking state, and dreams are a load of nonsense, you know, all of this. I mean, I grew up with all of that, but I couldn't believe it, you know. I couldn't believe that, Randy, because all of my experiences were telling me otherwise, which is very confusing. But... But yeah, I mean, you have to believe your own experiences. You have to explore, and that's why I became a lucid dream explorer. I researched it in an academic way. I wrote books about it. I've interviewed loads of people about their lucid dream experiences. And I've made it like a mission of mine, really, to find out, you know, what are these states of consciousness? What are we capable of? Who are we really? And those are the questions that fascinate me.
They fascinate me too. I think they fascinate everyone, you know, because it's a part of us. Yeah. Because we are not often in touch with the things that we don't experience on a concrete level. And some people are scientifically based, or they just need proof. They need, you know, physical proof of things. And there's so much, I believe, that is intangible that we can't prove except by our own experiences. So you have a 9-step program to getting lucid. Can you talk about those steps?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, there are so many ways, so many different possibilities for actually getting lucid in your dreams. I always think start simple. So start by remembering your dreams and keeping a dream journal. So when you do this, you're sending out a clear signal to your dreaming mind. You're saying, hey, I'm interested. I'm interested in you. I want to remember my dreams. I want to engage with my dreams. And dreams are like flowers. You know, they'll just respond to your attention. They'll blossom. You'll start remembering really much more exciting dreams as well, not just little snippets of, you know, being in a supermarket or running around feeling stressed about something. You'll actually start to have dreams where you're really experiencing things that mean something to you when you wake up. So that's the first step. Keep a dream journal and show your dreams through that you're interested. And also, I've found over the years that meditation is a really great mindfulness technique. It's a way of helping us to wake up in our lives. But it's also really good to do just a brief meditation, maybe 5 minutes, before you go to sleep. So this is, again, coming back to the whole idea of mindful sleeping, not just falling into bed and going unconscious for 8 hours, but setting yourself up for sleep. So having like a little bit of meditation can help you to observe your own mind. You can see what your mind does. This familiarity with the mind is what is going to get us lucid, because the more intimately we know our own mind, our own thought processes, our own dream imagery that is common to us, then the more likely we are in a lucid dream, we are in a dream, to be able to recognize, oh, I'm in the dream state. And once you recognize that you're in a dream state, you are lucid, and that opens up all these other possibilities. So meditation is good. Another thing that I found really helpful is to carry out reality checks. So again, this is all about being mindful in your daily life, asking yourself regularly, what state of consciousness am I in right now? You know, am I awake? I mean, how do we know we're not? If you think about it, it's quite hard, because in most of our dreams, we're thoroughly convinced that we're awake, you know. We wake up and we go, how could I have not realized that I was dreaming? I mean, that was just such an unrealistic dream. There were, you know, all these panda bears coming down that mountain, and they wanted to come into my house. And why didn't I realize that just wouldn't happen in waking reality? You know, we just completely believe that everything that happens in the dream is real. So this right. is why you need to get into the habit of asking yourself, am I dreaming now? And don't just dismiss it and say, of course I'm not. I know that I'm awake. I'm talking to Randy fine. And, you know, I'm sitting in this room. Don't do that. You have to say, maybe I am dreaming. And look around, you know, try it right now. You can look around and look at the colors and feel your body. This is another thing that really helps, is cultivating body awareness. We're sitting here in our physical bodies. So it's not a completely comfortable experience sometimes when you go into it. You think, well, actually, yeah, I would like to uncross and recross my legs. Or you think, oh, I do actually need to sit up a bit straighter. Or, yeah, I do have an itch on my cheek. You know, our physical body is constantly prickling us with these little sensations. And some people, of course, live with daily pain. Now, the beauty of the dream body is that very often you are completely pain-free in your dream body and you feel light, so you can just float up into the air. So once you've cultivated this body awareness, that's another really good trick for becoming lucid. And I've had that so often that I've been in a dream and I've realized I'm dreaming because I'm so light and I'm just slightly floating as I walk, you know, my feet are moving, but I realize they're not actually touching the ground. And so, of course, you immediately know that you're dreaming. Yeah, so reality checks are good. It's nice to play around with the idea of what would you do if this were a dream right now? What would you do right now, Randy, if you knew this was a dream?
What would I do right now? I don't know. Mm. I've never really thought about this.
Ah, well, maybe you should.
Yeah, I should. My dreams are so disjointed that I don't think this would be a dream, because it's all very connected and rational. But I guess when they're disjointed, they make sense to us at the time. So,
sure.
Yeah.
But this is another trick. You've just stumbled on another trick for getting lucid right there, because another way of becoming lucid is to regularly think back while you're awake. What was I doing 5 minutes ago? How did I get here? How did I arrive in this room? Yeah? And if it makes no sense, perhaps you're dreaming. So maybe that could be a lucidity trigger for you, you know, to practice doing that. And then you realize, And another way of making the dreams so that they're longer and not so disjointed is to write them down. You write them down as snippets, but once they realize you're writing them down, because the dreaming mind, of course, is receptive to what we do, it's absolutely a part of us, then they seem to make an effort to become more fluid and to create more complicated plots that go on for longer. I mean, they really do respond to our attention, so that might be a good trick too. So back to the ninth step, I'm trying to think. I mean, another really good thing to do to get lucid is to watch your hypnagogic imagery. These are the pre-sleep images and sensations that we experience while we're falling asleep. And everybody has them every night, but most of the time we miss them because we just go unconscious straight away. But they are an amazing gateway into lucidity, because if you can start getting into the hang of just spotting them and focusing on them with your awareness as they form in front of your eyes as you're dropping off to sleep, then you can actually start to watch them move and change. And it's like watching the building blocks of a dream. It's actually quite fascinating. So they start to move and change, and then they become three-dimensional, and then all of a sudden they're all-encompassing, and that's the dream. You've suddenly stepped into a dream, and so you can go straight into a lucid dream from the waking state by watching your hypnagogic pre-sleep imagery. Yeah.
And then there's the wake up back to bed technique.
Oh yes, yes. That's a really good technique. Actually, it's been tested in the sleep lab as well, and I think they had something like a 50% result of lucidity, which is very high, because I think it's quite hard even to get to sleep in the sleep lab. I think I'd find it very difficult, you know, knowing that you're being watched. you've got electrodes all over your head and stuff. But then again, maybe it helps to get you lucid. Who knows? But what has happened with this technique is that it actually works in tandem with your natural brain chemistry. So the first part of the night, the first 4 or 5 hours of sleep, we go to our deep sleep stages, and we need that sleep. We need to get deep recuperative sleep. So what you do is you set your alarm for about 5 hours into your night of sleep. And then you'll be ready. When you wake up, the good thing to do is then, it depends on how light a sleeper you are. All I would need to do personally, because I'm a light sleeper, is go, oh, there's my alarm clock. Got to have a lucid dream. Turn it off and I'd go back to sleep and have a lucid dream.
Right.
But some people are really deep sleepers, so you have to know yourself.
I'm going to interrupt you. I'm sorry,
sure.
But we're going to end. The show is going to end, so I just wanted to get a few things in. And
sure.
To my listeners, this is Dr. Claire Johnson, C-L-A-R-E, and we're talking about her book, Mindful Dreaming, Harness the Power of Lucid Dreaming for Happiness, Health, and Positive Change. And for all the things that we've talked about and so much more, all the methods, all the tips, they're in this book. How do we get this book, Dr. Johnson?
Oh, well, you can get the book in any bookstore, and you can also order it online via Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, IndieBound, so there are all sorts of places you can get hold of Mindful Dreaming, and its title in the rest of the world is Dream Therapy. Mindful Dreaming is the U.S. and Canadian title. It's a bit confusing, so make sure you don't buy both because they're the same book.
Oh, it's the same book. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
That's wonderful. And is there a way to contact you?
Yes, I can always be contacted via my website, where I also give advice if people want it on nightmares and dreams and lucid dreams. And my website is www.deeplucidreaming.com. So deeplucidreaming.com.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. This has been so fascinating. I really, really appreciate
that you're
writing this book and educating us, and also having you here to explain it so well. I believe we are all fascinated by this. I wish you great success with this book, and thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's been wonderful for me as well. Really nice.
So thanks again, and have a wonderful rest of your day. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You too, Randy. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And as always, may joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.